Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Rangers continue their frustrating up and down season. Again, I'm doing the show, haven't watched every second of it, haven't listened to the broadcast, obviously, but what looks to be another lackluster, lifeless performance where they fall behind their, 3-0 to the Blackhawks in just a wildly up and down season. Which, you know what, and just to take it for a second here, we talked about this the other night in the overnight. I'm going to get back to your calls. The division is crazy. I don't want to talk a lot of hockey, and I don't think I'm going to be doing much coming January 5th. But if you look at this division, from top to bottom, it's actually expanded a little bit. But right now, in both divisions, really, they are jam-packed. The West is a little bit different. The East is... Right now, the Capitals are in first place in the Metropolitan with 39 points. The Blue Jackets are in last with 32, and they've lost 3 in a row. The Rangers have 34 points. And now they have lost 3 in a row. But that's a 5-point difference, really, or 7-point difference between top and bottom. The Lightning have 36 points. The Buffalo Sabres have 28. I mean, you look at the West, Colorado 49, Nashville 26. 39-25. Like, that's a division. These Eastern Conference divisions are super tight. So, I mean, the Rangers are right there. They are, 3 points behind the Islanders. 3 points. But they have, after winning 5 of 6, have now dropped 3 in a row. And continue to play terribly at home. This was on the road, but they have played terribly at home. But they are plus, now they are -1 goal differential after tonight's 3-0 loss. It's just a wildly, wildly inconsistent season. One that you really don't have much hope for at this point. 888-808-1019. Well, let's get back to the Met calls, who are still just absolutely furious. I love it. I can count on one hand the amount of times that one subject has lit up the phones like this. This is, you guys are pissed. Chris in Massapequa. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris. Hey, I got a statement and a question for you.
Okay.
My statement is, can people just stop, because I've been listening all day to the radio on and off with the Uncle Steve, because he hasn't done anything for anybody, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So... That's first of all. Second of all, what I want to say to you is the fact that you're now on the evening shifts, is this to try and this is an honest question, because this happened to me with my job, with my kind of voice to bay job. Are they doing this for you to try and get you acclimated to getting back on a regular regiment?
Are you? Oh, so you think that they're trying to put me in regular hours for a week or two before putting me in afternoons, and so it's not as dramatic.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to do it otherwise. I wouldn't think. I don't think you'd be functioning.
No. I think Keith is no longer here, and these shifts have opened up, and I accepted them. I don't think it's some sort of plan to get my body right. I mean, again, come January 5th, we're going to be off a lot for New Year's and everything. I think my body will adjust just fine to the afternoons. I don't think I need to. And plus, you got to understand, I'm living half a life. On the weekend, I live the normal person life. I have two young kids. I coach teams and stuff. I can't just sleep in the middle of the day and wander my house at 4 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday and Sunday. You know, that does. I don't keep to the hours. So, I mean, I am constantly back and forth. I try to sleep less in the afternoon, my normal sleeping hours on Friday, so that it's easier for me to fall asleep at Friday night so I can have a normal weekend. So I'm all over the place. And look, if we want to, the hours are going to be great for my health and for sleeping and everything because, yeah, I mean, in the 2.5 years, I don't think I could give you 1 week where I slept 6 hours a day consistently for a full week. Like somewhere along the line, I had a 3-hour day. Somewhere. And that's not good for you. It's not great. But it's part of the lifestyle. And, you know, I would get sleep for the most part, but every once in a while there's something. Kid's sick, I got to go pick him up at school. Someone's coming to do this. Someone's coming to do that. I got a dentist appointment. For some reason, things happen at 2 o'clock in the afternoon that don't happen at 2 o'clock in the morning where you could sleep through. So the hours are going to be much better for my health and sleeping, but I'm going to see my kids less. And I'm not going to be able to coach the teams that I was coaching. So a little bit of that, but I think we all understand it's what's best for all of us. And I'm excited for it, looking forward to it. But as far as like the hours, yeah, the overnight was and I was honored to do the overnight. And honestly, if I was the overnight host for 25 years, that would have been fine with me. I mean, I'm obviously jumping at the chance to do afternoon drive, but like, you could do a hell of a lot worse in life than being the overnight host at WFAN for 20 years. So I was thrilled to get that job. I am through the roof to get this one. But that was a unique thing. And I'm, you know, I still have a couple more shows. I am kind of back and forth this shift, overnight shift. It's kind of a wonky kind of thing the next 2 weeks, but I'm looking forward to talking to a lot of the regular WFAN overnight callers that I've, you know, it's very much a family in the overnight. It's a different element. It's a different element. And it's the same people who live your lifestyle. Same people who work the hours you work. A lot of truck drivers, a lot of bartenders who work till 4 o'clock in the morning. A lot of, you know, the people who live that same lifestyle as you and sleep during the day and are up at night and you build like a family outside of, you know, of course, Eddie and Rocklin and I'm not even going to go to Long Island and talk about him. But looking forward to, you know, doing a couple more overnight shows before things change on January 5th. But yeah, this was an opportunity that was you know, presented to me and asked if I wanted to be part of, and obviously to join Craig, work with Craig again, be the afternoon drive host again. I mean, I've been here. I talked about it the other night. I started in January of 07 as an intern in a completely different world. I cannot express to you how different the world is. Like, Connor on the other side has been here a long time. He doesn't even know the world I'm talking of, in Astoria, Queens, when, I mean, the newsroom was jam-packed with people. Like, it is just a different world. We do things differently. Just everything about it. Not better, not worse, different. Different. And I was helping Tracy Burgess cut tape for the morning news show for the Don Imus show. She was doing morning news. I was getting tape from the AP. I was getting news tape, not sports tape, news tape about whatever story, this, that, and the other, you know, getting clips from the mayor speaking at a press conference, whatever the news story was. Like, that was my first, every Tuesday morning, I was the intern who helped. I got breakfast for everybody, and I helped Tracy Burgess get tape for her news report on the Imus show. And then, I mean, it was, Imus had like a 10-person staff just on his own that worked in there, and it was people bustling all over the place. And the place was an absolute dump. Chairs held together with duct tape. The rug was stained. The ceiling tiles were stained. Like, you would not believe the state of that place. I spoke to John Minko earlier today. He texted me to congratulate him. He's talking about it all the time. It's the only place you had to go upstairs to get to the basement. Like, it was something else. And it was just a different world. And I've been here for a long time, plugging away, doing every shift. I worked with Summers for forever. I hear he's going to be on the morning show. I'm looking forward to listening to that. I worked with Steve for forever, obviously working with Francesa in the afternoon drive for a long, long time, learning a lot from him. The impact he had on my career is immense. Learning so much from him, working with him. Then obviously Craig and Evan, where really Craig allowed me to kind of be Big Mac and kind of blossom as a personality. And then that led to the overnight and led to here, but a long time. And I was doing Saturdays for a long time when they first gave me that. Like, this has been a lifelong dream of a lot of years put in trying to make this possible. And it's crazy that it is. And it's crazy that it literally happened with a chance meet in Vegas. Like, that is true. I was on a rooftop club. I'll never forget it. Rooftop club with my buddies. I had just graduated Connecticut School of Broadcasting. I was going to take a couple weeks to enjoy the summer, and then I was going to start resume, trying to get jobs, whatever. We went to Vegas, and I saw Mark Melusis, the producer of Mike and the Mad Dog, on the rooftop bar, you know, from across the way or whatever. And I think I knew he was going to be there because I was obviously a diehard fan of Mike and the Mad Dog, and they talked about him going to Vegas. They talked about the trip. You know, Dog loved all that. Dog loved the travel, what time's the flight, any connections, like that type of thing. Loved all that. So I think I remember them talking about it, and I knew he was going to be there, and I actually saw him from across the room. My buddy's like, oh, you got to go talk to Mark. Go talk to him. I'm like, nah, what am I going to do? I'm going to go bother Mark Melusis. I'm not going to do that. A couple drinks in, where's Mark Melusis? And I'm looking all over this rooftop bar to try and talk to Mark Melusis and tell him that, you know, I'm the next great radio star and I just graduated Connecticut School of Broadcasting and you got to bring me to the station, whatever else I was going to say with my, you know, false bravado. Couldn't find him anywhere. Blew my chance. Very disappointed. Pissed at myself. Didn't go talk to Mark. Take an elevator down to leave the rooftop club. Me and my buddies kind of get into an argument with the kid in the elevator. Kid turns around. The bouncer kind of gave us the look like everybody better shut up right now. And we kind of cooled off. And he's like, yeah, you guys sound like from New York. So am I. You know, oh, you are? Yeah. Listen, I saw Mark Melusis up there. He's like, yeah, I'm here with him. I was Brian Manzo, who I've been friends with and worked with for ever since. Met him on an elevator, got into an argument with him on an elevator. That turned into, oh my, let's all relax. Hey, I'm from New York. You're from New York, blah, blah. Yeah. I saw Mark Melusis. Yeah, I'm here with him. You want to come meet him? And Brian and I went to go meet Moose. The next night, Moose and Sal came and met us out at a different club. We had a table, me and my friends, and they came and sat with us all night. They gave me Eddie Scazzeri's phone number, and that began my internship at WFAN. If I got on that elevator 30 seconds earlier or later, who knows what I'd be doing? It's a crazy world. It's a crazy world. But that is an absolute honest story. And unfortunately for Gio, and not that, I don't think I met Gio on that trip. I know he was on the trip. That night when we met in the elevator, I was told that Sal wasn't feeling great and that him and Gio went to bed. And I met Mark Melusis. Mons took me to go meet Melusis at the Horseshoe Bay Lounge inside MGM Grand. And then the next night, Sal and Moose came out with us. Crazy. Crazy. It's amazing how things shape your life. Little moments that you would never otherwise think. And I'm sure that's a million people have that story. You bumped into this woman in the convenience store. If they didn't run out of peanut butter that day, I would have never met my wife. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of things like that, but that's definitely, I got one of those stories where if I had just taken a different turn or gone to a different club that night or skipped out on the Vegas because I wanted to stay home and really focus on trying to find a job, who knows? Had to go to the bathroom instead of wanting to get on the elevator and stay 5 minutes later. I don't know. Met a girl who actually wanted to spend 5 minutes talking to me. I don't know. My whole life could be different. 888-808-1019. Steve in Bayside. What's up, Steve?
My takeaway from that story is that Sal and Gio went to bed. I was like, whoa, where's this story going?
They didn't, you know what I meant. They went up to their rooms. They called it a night early, was my point.
Giving you an opportunity to clarify that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I heard you mention before about Ohtani. You think that Ohtani is the only player that actually pays for his contract. I think you would agree that he pays for probably half of that team.
Yeah.
Is what he does with the contract. Yeah.
100%. Steve, I did a whole thing on it yesterday. That is the greatest contract in the history of sports. What that contract allows them to do, the Dodgers were spending money before, but not like this. They weren't. They see an opportunity right now with the deferrals and what they're able to do with Ohtani and the money he's making, the money they're making on the $68 million they don't have to pay him that they have put in to whatever bond or account that's earning 8% interest. Like, they are able to do all of this and sign every big free agent and be in the mix for trading for Skubal and paying him $300 million and paying Yamamoto because he's the greatest contract, he's the best player, he's making $2 million, and he's the greatest recruiter. I mean, bringing Ohtani to your team has changed who the Dodgers are.
And if the owners fall short of getting a salary cap and get the Players Association to just rein in the deferrals, then we'll all see how smart the Dodgers are after that.
Mm-hmm.
The thing, I think Mets fans need to accept this. I mean, I know you agree with this, just kind of reading between the lines with what you're saying. Mets fans kind of need to accept the way that this organization operates. Think about, you have Alonso, you have DeGrom, you have Nimmo, you have Diaz. These are all players in their 30s, and they decided to either not sign them or trade them or what have you. They don't want to hang around for the decline phase of a play, of even if it's a homegrown player, they don't want to hang around and pay for a guy after, you know, they get into that danger zone of their mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just the way that the Mets operate, and Mets fans kind of have to accept that. I mean, because if not, you're setting yourself up for a lot of disappointment.
No, I mean, there's no doubt. He has guidelines, and it's only been 2 years. It's on the borderline of calling them hard set rules, but I'm still going to lean towards guidelines. I understand your point, but I'm going to lean towards guidelines on how he wants to handle business. And he doesn't want to pay pitching over 30. He doesn't want to play players over 30. Totally agree. And right now, he doesn't want to do anything he's uncomfortable with. At some point, he's going to have to. At some point, he's going to have to. Now, will the right player emerge? Because to be fair, especially when it comes to the pitching side, to be fair, if you look at all the starting pitchers that have signed in the 2 years he's been the GM, tell me which ones were the ones that just eat at you that he didn't do. Like, honestly, Corbin Burns blew his arm out. The Arizona Diamondbacks are dreading the day they sign that contract. Max Fried, I mean, that's probably the best of it considering the year he had. But you look out there in the free agency landscape, who was the guy that they passed on where you're like, oh my God, how could you miss that guy? How could you not bring him in here? He hasn't really hit the free agent market yet. I don't view Michael King as that guy. I didn't view Dylan Cease as that guy. I don't view Framber Valdez as that guy. I really don't. I don't have a problem with signing any of those guys, but I don't, if you do have a strong belief in not signing pitching over 30, I understand it because these guys typically do not succeed in that contract, typically. And I understand on waiting for the guy that makes you feel that way where you're willing to do it. And I don't see that in Framber Valdez, Michael King. Like, I just don't. Now, there's guys they could trade for and wait for the Skubal next year, because next year, and I think Skubal is younger, but how old is Skubal? Tariq Skubal is 29. So he will be 30 next year. He just turned 29 in November. So when he's a free agent next year, he's going to be 30. He's the kind of pitcher that you don't, you go and throw your caution to the wind and your guidelines and your hard rules to the wind and you go pay Skubal. There's no doubt about that. And I will say this now. David Stearns has, Skubal has to be a Met next year. He doesn't have to be a Met this year. I would like, I mean, I guess I'm at the point now where they, you got to do something to appease the fan base, so I'm more open to it. But he could be a Met this year, great. He needs to be a Met next year and beyond. I don't think, even if he goes to the Dodgers, I don't think he's signing a long-term extension. I just don't think with a caliber pitcher like that, that Scott Boras will allow him to sign with anyone without competition. Like, he's going to want to see where the market goes.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's no reason that this owner should not pony up for Skubal next year. 888-808-1019. Quick break. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll get right back to the calls when we come back right here on The Fan. Anthony in Bridgewater. What's up, Anthony?
Oh, Chris, congratulations on the job, man. I'm happy for you, buddy.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I'm just real disappointed, Mets fan. I mean,
yeah, honestly, I've talked to several just like you.
Yeah, I know. You've heard, right? Just a couple things. First off, what was the point of signing Juan Soto if you're not going to commit to other high-priced guys around?
Yeah.
Like, it kind of makes no sense. Like, first off, Alonso was really important to Soto this year. You know you need someone protecting. You know it worked.
Yeah.
You know
and Soto has said the same. Soto has mentioned the idea of Pete Alonso behind him, yeah?
And the biggest thing you were kind of alluded to before, I thought you were going to say it, maybe you said it, maybe I missed it. report. You know the biggest thing that Stearns has over most GMs? The ability to make a mistake. And that's why I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, when you're an open, if you're going to try to get a free agent, you better be spot on in him.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to let you go. Your line is a little rough. But you bring up a good point. And we've talked about this when we talk about the rich owners. The significance of the rich owner is to eat your mistake. 100%. That is the biggest attribute that a rich owner, that the top players in the game at the high payrolls, that's their ability. Their ability is to eat the bad payroll and a bad contract and keep going. Right? Chris Davis, so I heard someone mention it with the Afternoon Drive show today because Pete Alonso signs a big long-term contract with the Orioles, and obviously the Chris Davis contract was a disaster. A team like the Orioles signs Chris Davis for, you know, gobs of money, and he literally can't hit, you're dead. You're dead. Some of these teams now, they've since switched owners, and we'll see what happens if Pete doesn't hit. I think he will, but... like these lower market teams, that's why they can't afford. You can't be wrong. But that's what I don't get about this. So what if you overpay for Pete? So what if you think he's only worth 3 years, but you give him five? So what? So what if $30 million of bad money is on the payroll with the richest owner in baseball? Eat it! And I understand, well, that's a slippery slope, Chris. That can't be everybody. You can't just sign everybody to bad contracts and say, eat it, eat it, eat it. I know. You know, I get it. It's not a Weird Al Yankovic song. I get it. Eventually, you can't eat it forever. But for Pete Alonso, your guy, coming off the most disappointing regular season in Mets history when you take into account the expectations, you can eat 2 years of Pete if it's bad. Like, come on. You can eat that extra year of Edwin Diaz if it's bad. Come on. Like, that's what this owner should be doing. And the general manager has to treat it as such. He has to understand he has the blanket. He has the safety net of the richest owner in baseball who can pay if Pete Alonso's contract becomes an albatross for 1 year or two. You can live with it. I agree. That is what's the point of being the richest owner in baseball if you're afraid to give out contracts? What's the point? Jennifer in Queens, what's up, Jen?
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
So I know I'm good. So now, since like Alonso's gone, yep. Edwin Diaz is gone. So what's next? Is it Cody Bellinger, Kyle Tucker? But we need a first baseman. What are we gonna do?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you've heard, but there is very exciting news about bringing in Paul Goldschmidt, and who can still hit left-handed pitching, and platooning him and Jeff McNeil at first base. I don't know how you feel about that, but against right-handed pitching, you would have Jeff McNeil at first. Against left-handed pitching, you'd have Paul Goldschmidt at first. I mean, that is very intriguing and very exciting. I mean, that you almost forget about Pete Alonso right away with those two.
But do you think the Mets will make another big move?
I mean, I think, like a big contract? You know, Jen, you have to think that, right? You have to think that. I can't imagine them not. I can't imagine them not doing that. Like, I don't know how they don't do that. But at the same time, like, say Bellinger, which, by the way, again, Bellinger's not as good as Pete Alonso. You are not a better team losing Pete and signing Cody Bellinger. You're not better. You're better defensively, but you're not better. You're just not. Now, say that is the guy. Right now, it sounds like, and again, I'm trying my best to like go through Twitter as I'm doing the show because we're waiting for news. Do they leave today? I think they pretty much leave today. I think the winter meetings are pretty much over. But anyway, it sounds like the Yankees want Bellinger, right? And that they're stuck on 5 years. And Bellinger and Boris wants seven. Seven is a big total for Cody Bellinger. 7 years? That's a long contract. for a player like Bellinger. Now, if he's stuck on seven, are the Mets going to do that? Are the Mets going to do that? Because I promise you that would make David Stearns uncomfortable, and he doesn't do uncomfortable. And I'm dying so much to say a line from the movie Mallrats about uncomfortable, but I'm not going to do it. But I just want it out there, if you guys, because I've said uncomfortable so much that I want to bring up the line from Mallrats, like the backseat of a Volkswagen. Like I want to say that whole joke so much, but uncomfortable. Is he going to be uncomfortable? And it sounds like the Bellinger market is going to go to someone who's willing to be uncomfortable. And I just don't know if David Stearns is that guy. Not from what we've seen so far. And 10 years for Tucker or 9 years for Tucker? What makes you think he'll do that? Like, if Tucker's willing to do 5 years and they bump the money, maybe. Maybe. If Bellinger's willing to do 4 or 5 years and ask for a little bit more money, maybe. And maybe the market falls to them on that, maybe. But right now, I don't expect it anytime soon. I do not expect the news today that all of a sudden Bellinger goes to the Mets for 7 years. Like, I don't see it. Johnny O in Cranford. What's up, Johnny O?
What's up, C-Mac?
What's up?
Just want to, you know, congratulate you getting on the afternoon drive with Carton. It's going to be a great show. Look forward to listening to it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to it as well.
Well deserved, man. You've been, you know, doing your time there at WFAN for a long time. I just don't know where the Mets are going here, pal. I mean, we got the richest owner in baseball, the real smart guy from the GM, and we just can't seem to sign anybody.
No, I mean, I mean, that is just so. Chris, can you just reiterate the last 3.5 hours for me? Sure, pal. I guess I can. I mean, I've grown accustomed to it. That's what I do in the overnights. People are like, you're so repetitive. You talk for 5 hours. But yeah, I have to believe that David Stearns and Steve Cohen have a plan. I have to. And I don't buy some of the, like, I really don't buy the idea. I've heard it from multiple people now. Yes, Steve Cohen has an idea to turn the property around Citi Field into a casino, hotel, shopping, the whole bit, right? And I would think Met fans are going to look forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. You go to Yankee Stadium, and although, you know, it's not casinos and hotels and, you know, glitz and glamour, and, you know, you're not going to go buy a Patek Philippe, but, I mean, maybe you could in a back alley somewhere. But, like, the area around Yankee Stadium is awesome. You walk out of that game, you can go to 5 or 6 different bars. There's people in the streets. There's music playing. Like, there's people dancing. Like, it's a really cool atmosphere. It's right on the street, but it's really cool. And the Mets really don't have anything like that. They don't have anything. Like, you walk out into the parking lot, you get in your car, you leave. And so to have that area, I think, is going to be awesome, and it's going to be great, and the Met fans are going to love it. But I also don't believe that this has all been some facade that Cohen has. Like, there are fans who right now are so frustrated with Steve Cohen and so annoyed at what's going on that they believe it is some sort of coup. It's a facade that he bought the team with no real interest in winning or no real interest in doing anything other than getting the casino, which is without question a moneymaker. And he has no real intent of winning, and that's why he hired a small market GM. He's going to spend less money. Now he's got his license to build a casino, and that's where he's going to make all his money from. He's been losing $200 million over the last handful of years. He's done doing that. So now he signed the big free agent in Juan Soto, built up the team. He thought he had a winner. Now he's got his casino. Forget about it. Why am I going to keep throwing money at teams that don't win no matter how much money I throw at it? Forget it. I'm not going to lose $200 million for the next 5 years until I build my casino. I'm going to strip it down. Let's see what the finances of baseball look like after the new CBA. Maybe I'll spend some money then. But until then, I'm not going to spend any money until I start getting more money in my pocket. I don't know if that's true, but even billionaires get tired of losing $200 million a year. Even billionaires. Robbie in Lennox. What's up, Robbie?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
First good. How are you?
Congratulations. I'm all right. Congratulations on the shift. I was hopefully going back on the air on my old station a couple in the next month, maybe. So hopefully New Year and Rafi and I will be on. We'd love to have you on sometime. We can find a spot for you now.
Yeah.
Anyway, congratulations.
Thank you.
So here's the deal. Before I talk about the baseball teams, can I just say something about the Rangers for a moment?
Sure.
That was a disgusting performance tonight on national TV. I am so sick of the core of this team. You know, what is Chris Drury's vision to go out and get JT Miller? JT Miller has 7 goals this season. It's obvious that JT Miller's banged up. He's not the same player. But I don't know what his vision is. But this team, it's the same dumb stuff. And I like Mike Sullivan as a coach. It's not Mike Sullivan. But why is Connor Sherry still on this team? They play Connor Sherry more than they play Connor McDavid in Edmonton. It's unbelievable. It's amazing. And Sherry's on the power play. He's on the penalty kill. Their power play's awful without Foxy, but it's the same. This team's going nowhere. I don't think it should be sellers or buyers, but I'll get your thoughts after. By the way, today, I was shocked, and the first thing I did was text Beningo and say, oh, my God, I can't wait to hear your rant today. And finally, he's on with Evan this afternoon, so I heard him. But, I mean, I cannot believe they got rid of Pete. You know what? It's a public relations nightmare. Think about it. It's not only the fact that you got rid of a guy who's productive. You got rid of the most popular player on the Mets, for crying out loud. And now what are you going to do? So the thing is, and the other thing about the Yankees, Chris, here's my question for you. What are the Yankees going to do? I mentioned about Fernando Tatis being the type of player with an 18% strikeout, a guy who can lead off. So think about this. If they were to go out and trade for Tatis with some of the farm guys, sign Cody for, say, 4 years. He won 7 years. That's ridiculous. Anybody who gives Cody Bellinger 7 years is nuts, okay? Cody Bellinger's lifetime average before he played for the Yankees this year was .248, all right? So, I mean, Chris, there's no way that you're signing
I think he's a better hitter than that. I mean, I understand.
He's a good hitter to the Yankees team, especially, Chris. I agree. I agree with you. I mean, the Yankees team helps him. And I like Cody. He's a ball player. He's a hustler. He's a guy who works hard. He's a contact guy. He's a guy who'll choke up. You know, with 2 strikes, he's a heady guy. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
But the question for me is that they really need a first baseman. He can play first base and go out and get a guy like Tatis, who can only pay $24 million.
Well, I don't think they need a first baseman. I think they're locked into Ben Rice being your everyday first baseman.
But see, he's not defensively good enough. That's
I think he can get better. Pete Alonso's definitely better. I think you got to give him time. It's a new position for him. He was catching. I think he can get good enough to be a serviceable first baseman and hit the way he hits. Like, he hits the ball hard. I think he's the absolute first baseman. Look, I wish I could tell you different. I've gone on and on about the Yankees. I don't, right now they're connected to Peralta. I think they're in the market to trade for one of these starting pitchers. I wish I could speculate, and I wish I could tell you they're going to do this and they're going to do that. I think the Yankees are making it pretty obvious what they're doing. I don't think there's much to speculate. They are going to add a couple of outfielders, or they're going to try to add at least one outfielder, and they're trading for some starting pitching depth. That's it. Now, at what level? They've been connected to Mackenzie Gore. I just saw the report that they are one of the handful of teams that have shown extreme interest in Freddie Peralta. I think that would be great. You get Freddie Peralta for 1 year. Now, I don't know what you'd have to give up for Freddie Peralta for 1 year. But, I mean, you add Peralta and you get everybody healthy and you have a rotation of Cole, Fried, Peralta, Cam Schlittler, Rodon, Luis Gil. Like, that's a really good rotation. That's a really good rotation. And that's good enough where if Cam Schlittler becomes the pitcher we all think he's going to be, that Rodon doesn't get a playoff start. Like, I know we all hate Rodon, and there were reports that his arm was really messed up by the end of the year. He did have surgery right away. I know there's no reason to, and he didn't pitch well in the postseason at any point in his career, or in big games for that matter. But he was really good all year, and then suddenly he had nothing come the playoffs. Nothing. And Joel Sherman reported that he could barely lift his arm. So, but you add a Peralta, you add a McKenna, you add a young controllable starting pitcher, but that's it. They're adding an outfielder. They're adding right-handed depth for right-handed batting, bench guys. That's it. You're getting right-handed hitters for the bench that gives Boone platoon options. They're adding an outfielder, whether it be Cody Bellinger or trading for one. If they miss out on Cody Bellinger, they're not going to spend in free agency. I'm telling you, I don't think they're. I think Bellinger is the only, for the New York Yankees, Bellinger is the only player in free agency they will spend money on. And if they miss on him, they're going to go to the trade. They're going to go the trade route, or they're going to play the young kids. They'll go trade for a right-handed platoon option for Dominguez and make sure they have someone who can play the outfield and hit right-handed.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And play Dominguez against right-handed pitching and play whoever they go trade for against left-handed pitching. Or they might go trade for Brendan Donovan and just play him in left field and move on from Dominguez to do something else. But they're not going to get Tucker. There's not really another outfielder in free agency that they're going to spend money on. They're not bringing in anybody to play the infield. They believe the infield is set. Unless they do something dramatic and trade Jazz and do different things in the infield, but free agency-wise, they're not bringing in Bregman. They're not bringing in Bo Bichette. They're not doing it. They're not doing it. The New York Yankees are spending on one player and one player only, Bellinger. I think they will be willing to give him a good contract. They're not going to give him seven. There's a chance if they feel like it's going to the Mets or going to a real competitor, there's a chance they would go six. But to me, they're getting Bellinger, and that's it. And if they miss on Bellinger, it won't be through free agency to replace it. It'll be either Spencer Jones or Dominguez, or it'll be through trade. And they're going to look to improve this team through trade. And they're not spending any more money in the rotation. Forget Imai. Forget Michael King. Like, forget any of those starting pitchers. They're not doing it. They have paid a ton of money to Cole. They are paying a ton of money to Max Fried. They are paying a ton of money to Carlos Rodon. They are not adding a fourth big-time starter contract. They're not doing it. And I know you can scream and cry. I understand it. How much money are you going to put into a rotation? You got one franchise that won't spend a dollar in the rotation and another one that has all their money invested in it? That's a scary thought, too. I'll be honest with you. It's a scary thought, too. Pitchers are fickle. Pitchers get hurt. You want to have all that money invested into a rotation? I don't know if I love that either. Not for a Japanese starter who they have started to really be proven to be better. Like the stars from Japan have been better and better. Everyone, Yamamoto was obviously great or is great, but I don't blame them for not wanting to spend a ton of money in a rotation where they've already spent a ton of money on a pitcher who's never thrown a pitch in major leagues and doesn't have that same quality as Yamamoto. or Michael King, who can't stay healthy, or Framber Valdez, who I don't know if he's even that good anymore. Like, he's good, but I don't think he's great. And he's getting older, and he's got a small frame. I don't love it. I don't love it. So, like, to me, the Yankees are very simple. Bellinger or nothing in free agency. Trade for the outfielder that Bellinger doesn't, if Bellinger doesn't come here. If Bellinger comes here, you're trading for pitching depth. Like, that's it. Pitching depth via trade, Bellinger, possibly trade for an outfielder, possibly trade for right-handed infield bats, maybe sign a couple of bench players. They'll probably have to go sign some bullpen help. I'll give you that. Maybe even trade for bullpen help, but they could sign some bullpen names, but not big free agent tickets. They're not adding to the rotation through free agency. They're not adding to the outfield through free agency. They're not, unless it's Cody Bellinger. That is it. That is it. I mean, that's the Yankee offseason. They couldn't make it any more crystal clear. That is their entire offseason. Get an outfielder, hopefully Bellinger. If not, trade for one. Add to the depth of the starting rotation via trade. At whatever level. A level, Freddy Peralta, Mackenzie Gore, or lower levels with, you know, a number of guys. Maybe David Peterson. That's it. Brandon and Douglaston. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, how you doing? Congrats on the promotion.
Thank you very much.
You're now considered a night walker. I've been working nights for a very long time. I'm a first responder in the city,
mm-hmm.
and you're a night walker. You're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. You'll find out in the first 2 months.
What, going back to normal life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You either really love the nights or you really hate the nights. I'm a Yankee fan at heart. I may anger a couple people with this proposal, but I got a trade for you.
Okay.
Dominguez and Rice for Lindor.
You know what? It's funny. Evan and I talked about that almost exact trade during the Rico Bronya trade between Mets and Yankees. We talked about almost that exact trade. That is so funny you said that. That's, unless you heard the Rico. Which is possible. It's wildly popular. If they're looking to get rid of the core, and I talked about this with Evan, and now, you know, I probably should have brought this up. I should have thought of it because I mentioned it on Evan. I was thinking about it. If the Mets are determined on trading the core, if the Mets are determined on breaking up this team because it doesn't work, and all the reports at the forefront of the problems inside the room, Francisco Lindor, big bloated contract on the back end, still in the prime, but on the back end of the prime of his career. Would the Mets be willing to move Francisco Lindor if they are really going, you know, bare bones, strip it down to the studs? Would they be willing to do that? And if so, what would the Yankees be willing to give up? I'm getting the break sign. You know what? That's an interesting think on it. And you call me at 888-808-1019, but we could talk about that a little bit. Is Francisco Lindor available? Is everybody on this team subject to change because they believe the core and the group is broken? And if so, I mean, it's a big-time contract, but the Yankees would be completely different with a shortstop to level of Francisco Lindor. 888-808-1019. It'll never happen, but it's funny. And it's not the craziest thing in the world. Although the Yankees probably would never take on his contract. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. you focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.